If you're new, it's great to see you guys here. And if you're visiting from another church, it's awesome to have you here. It's been a month that we've been have the relaunch, and it's great that everyone's are coming, enjoying each other's company. But today and next week will be, I think, our usual set preaching once, but we are going to continue for another 2 weeks with live preaching. This week is me, next week is Tony. So it'll be great to have a different feeling. So let me pray as we start. Dear me, Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for the scriptures that you have given to us, your revelations to us, your words to us. I ask us, as we dwell into your words, to understand it, to proclaim it, and to see how it applies to us. So Lord, I pray for our hearts to be open, to be quiet, and to receive your words. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we'll be continuing the series of Acts. We started last year and sort of went off the rails when COVID came, and we're going to continue with it. And so let me do a recap. I think it's pretty important. I think most people has forgotten about Acts, especially 1 to 4. So in chapter 1, in first Acts, the book of Acts, the apostles were ordered by Jesus to stay in Jerusalem, and that they will receive the Holy Spirit. And after that, Jesus himself ascended to heaven. And not long ago, in chapter 2, the Pentecost occurred. This is where the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles as promised by Jesus. And with the Spirit, Peter was instantly speaking to the crowd. Many people heard it, believed, and repent. As Peter the Apostle continued preaching in chapter 3 and 4, we read that many were converted to the good news of Jesus. Yes, the apostles were confronted by the rulers and also the teachers of the law, but nothing was going to stop them as they were filled with the Spirit. And with that, many people were baptized, and many people were doing life together as a church. People were sharing and supporting each other in the church. And today we come to Acts 5, which is one of the most extraordinary and a shocking story in the New Testament. The story is about two church members not getting away with deceit and lies, and lying to God. In chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, we hear about a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. We know they were financially stable as they had property to sell. But why did the couple do this? Why did they sell their property? So it's important that we look at the previous chapter to see what was happening. In chapter 4, we are reminded of the preaching of the gospel by Peter and John. They both were uneducated and just common fishermen, farmers. No one great in status in those times. Many people liked them. And it's important to know this fact. There are many people who were like these farmers, peasants, and even slaves. Because back in the ancient times, in Roman culture, the strong, educated, business people, the religious, but consider people with great status. And this means having great influence and control of others. We know that the world of the Roman Empire, it's about the strongest, who's the fittest and the smartest, who's able to win the battles of war, military power and weapons to conquer. It's a dog-eat-dog world. The strong weeds out the weak. So work hard, be the strongest, and leave everyone behind. Isn't that exclusive? So for the religious, they saw themselves as people who had a high standard. Their God wanted them to keep the law, so they would change or tweak the laws to suit them. They were the people who were able to do the work, keep the law, to make things right. If a person were not up there or haven't had the standard yet, then that person would need to continue working on it. Try harder. Keep on doing it just to follow the law. The religious is also a very exclusive group. Also, if you're a businessman or even have a government position, you can make deals and persuade others to side with you, giving you control and power to look after your needs and your agendas. As a businessman, that means you can gain a lot of money, status, and even investments. If you're not loud and boastful, you lose. If you aren't seen by others as important, you lose. It's hard to get into this position of influence and being liked by others. But that's a winner. Once again, it's a very exclusive group. But we are told the gospel is not about doing or trying or being boastful. We heard it last week from Huge. It's not about being the strongest and achieving all the awards. It's not about winning and taking that trophy. It's not about being moral. It's not about doing, as you can't do anything to win God over. And the gospel is for everyone, like Peter and John, who were common fishermen. As it's all about the news of Jesus, he was a savior by the grace of God. And that's inclusive to all, for whoever believes in the gospel. That's why in Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 37, many people believed the gospel. Many who heard repent as the apostles continued to testify and proclaim the message of the gospel. As people were being converted, many believers were united in Christ and united in the church, the community. With this, believers wanted to help in whatever way possible. They want to share the work of the gospel. They were willing to share their materials, resources with people in the community. They're basically able to give generously to the work of the apostles and the church. And yes, someone generous enough to sell the land and property, like Barnabas in Acts 4. He sold land which he had earned and gave the money to the apostles to support their work. In fact, we see him involved throughout the book of Acts. He testifies about Paul to the apostles that he is a follower of Christ in chapter 9 when Paul got converted. Later on in Antioch, Barnabas was an encourager and a teacher in that area in chapter 11. He even got involved in ministry, going ministry work with Paul in chapter 13 to 15. We can see Barnabas was a faithful man to the work of the gospel. Not just in giving, but also faithful in teaching and his actions. His heart and actions were for the gospel ministry. But let me get back to the community of people who were giving to the gospel work. I do want to say this straight up, and we need to know and understand this. It wasn't a demand from Peter and the apostles to sell people's homes and to give them all the money. And it wasn't mandatory to sell one's position before one can join the church. And some people can misread this event and thinking selling everything is a compulsory thing to do. Well, it's not. Believers wanted to partner in the church community, helping one another, caring for one another, and to love one another. Having understood what Christ has done for them, for the grace of God. This giving was not forced, because we can see this in Acts chapter 5, verse 4. Peter says, with Ananias and Sapphira, property was not sold. It belonged to them in the first place. And even when the couple did sell their property, was the sale proceed not at the couple's disposal? Basically, Peter said to them, they can do whatever they want with the money they had with the property. They did not need to give any at all. They can give up the full amount, 33%, 10%, or nothing. It was really up to them. So it really comes back to the reason and the attitude and the motivation why they were selling the property. They should have been given to the church to support gospel ministry, and it's not about them. They should have been giving willingly and not giving begrudgingly for God's kingdom. It was the attitude behind it all. It was their attitude. Let's get into chapter 5, which is the next point in the bulletin. In verse 3 to 10, we're able to read what had happened to Ananias and Sapphira. In verse 3 to 6, Peter confronts Ananias regarding the money. And after Ananias' death, in verse 7, we read that Sapphira, his wife, was also confronted by Peter in verse 8 to 9 regarding the money. And she also dropped dead in verse 10. From what we just read, God killed a husband and a wife for not giving what they sold for the property. But God didn't punish them because they didn't give enough. It's because they were being so deceitful, hiding the truth, lying to the Spirit, and wanting to look good among others. Want to stand out above others. Wanting to be popular, wanting people to take selfies with them. And I bet we all know someone like that. At work, uni, even in your family gathering, there's always one relative who likes to stand up and being popular, being heard. As you know, I'm known as a mammal. It means a middle-aged man in Lyca. I like riding my bike and with some mates, and after that, enjoy a cup of coffee, as old people do. There's always one riding event we talk about, always one. For professional riders, it's all about winning a race called Tour de la France. It's like the Champions League in the soccer. Or, if you love your tennis, it's Wimbledon. That's the main one. That's one everyone talks about. And it's very hard to win, you know, two or three in a row. Well, this person called Lance Armstrong was able to win it. He won it 7 times. In fact, he won it 7 times in a row. And the last one was in 2005. It was unheard of. And yes, I have read the book on what he ate, how he trained, the mental toughness to have in your riding. So one day I can ride like that. It's only a wish, but it will never happen. But many people felt that he was a cheater. And for many, many years, he had denied that claim. He just said, it's all hard work. It's all on the training. Until 2013, he acknowledged he did cheat. Using drugs all those years, and in fact, bullying all his teammates to do it. He was a liar. He deceived the cycling world. And from the time on, no one trusted him. He lost his support from Nike and other sponsors who helped him to support cancer. He got stripped off his 7 titles that he won. And you might say, he deserves it. He got caught and everyone hated him. Because no one likes a cheater. No one can trust a liar. No one likes to associate with a deceitful person. And today, that's what we read. But more. But there's more. Our God doesn't like liars and people who are deceitful. People who are two-faced. Being deceitful is very harmful. We need to see the impact it has. Don't we see Ananias and Sapphira had lied in order to appear better, who are better than they really are? Both have claimed to be giving all that they have earned from the sale of the field. They were church members claiming to be living in a committed, godly way. But it was all a show for them. It was a show. And selling the field was really to look great, serving themselves and pleasing themselves, but not for the kingdom's work. In verse 3, Peter points out the behavior is inspired by Satan and involves lying not just to men, but to God in verse 4. And you know what? We can also see this kind of behavior at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis 2. How the serpent was cunning, crafty, was very deceitful. The serpent lied and knew how to bend the truth, as Adam and Eve were both deceived by him. And they both wanted to be like God, to know good and evil. And the result was both Adam and Eve were punished. Adam and Eve were banished from the garden and no longer had a close relationship with God. And for Ananias and Sapphira, we see the Spirit doesn't take that deceitful and dishonest behavior lightly. Because you need to remember, the Spirit is one with God. And that God is holy. He must be worshipped as holy. And in this situation, it's not lying to God. To give generously to the gospel according to one's ability with the right attitude. And we also see the Spirit would not allow His church to become compromised by the deceit and lies of those who pretend to act selfishly and not devoted to Him. The important verse is in verse 11, which is the key verse. Following the death of the couple, a great fear came upon the people inside the church community, but also outside of the church. People who were non-believers had this fear of God. And let me know, this fear is a reverent fear. A fear with respect God for who He is. Respect God for who He is. A fear knowing of God who can't be deceived. A God who can't be lied to. A fear knowing that God hates sin, deceptions, and dishonesty. And knowing a God who would deal judgment on unholy people, who deceives and lies to Him and to His church. And with this, we as a church today also need to take note on how we treat God and His church. Our view and theology of church is very important. Our understanding of coming to church is important. Even our attitude and the reasons why we serve in ministry is also very important. And last of all, do we have the same respect for God today? Respect God for who He is. Let's now go to verse 12 to 16. We read that the apostles kept on spreading the word of the gospel. The gospel continues to grow. They also heal, perform signs, witnessing to people that God is real, a God that everyone should take notice and be fearful of. The apostles did not perform miracles like a show. It's not a bragging right. It's not about being popular or giving or even getting better approval or recognition. This is in verse 13. But the reason is in verse 14. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added in their number. That's in verse 14. More and more men and women believe in the Lord. The reason why the apostles healed the sick, freed people from torment by the impure spirits, and performed many other miracles and signs of wonders was to lead people to Christ, to tell people what Christ has done on the cross. This was the primary goal for the apostles, to tell the good news. Once again, nothing stopped the work of the Spirit. And we're able to see that once the gospel was preached, more and more people believe in it. We can see that in Acts chapter 2, as people were cut to the heart when they heard Peter's sermon. In chapter 3, Peter heals a person who was lamed. And once again, after the healing, Peter speaks to the people of Israel regarding the Messiah. And we can see this result of the working of the Spirit in chapter 4, verse 4. Many of them who heard became believers. There were 5,000 people who turned to Christ. And later in chapter 6 and chapter 8 and throughout the Acts, we're able to read people were converted. Many signs and wonders and miracles was happening in the book of Acts. But we also know miracles in the Bible doesn't happen all the time. As Eugene and Kamal had previously mentioned last year in chapter 1 to 4. Acts was a unique time, and the power to perform miracles was given to the apostles of Jesus to share the good news. Once again, it doesn't mean miracles can't happen today, because we can't put God in a box. He's all powerful. In fact, miracles happen in our life. Let me tell you a story, a man called Jimmy. Jimmy is one of the SRC scripture classes, which teaches at my kids' school. And I asked him, how long have you been teaching SRC? And how do you become a Christian? He told me he was a foster child. And it was very hard for him. He had to move around and live in a small country town in New Zealand. Sometimes he would even bump into his biological mum. One day, he was given a part of a Bible near those gospel tracts. And he read it at night with a torch, covering himself in a blanket because he didn't want to get in trouble. But it was because of that. Someone had told him the gospel and gave him the little track that he knew there was a God. He was broken and lost. Didn't know where he belonged, but it was a miracle of God that he was able to hold on to. In his mind, he had nothing. Broken, not just in his family, but also mentally. God has laid his word into his heart, and God has transformed his heart with peace and love. This is his miracle. And today he teaches the kids so that God will transform their heart. And the kids also might have this miracle for themselves, if it's not today, but in the future. But it's in all in God's timing. Don't you see? We all have a miracle story to tell others. how God has found us, how He transformed our broken heart from hate, from pain, to a heart which sees the love of God. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter. Whether you're from a Christian family, a Buddhist family, the best is that everyone has a unique story to tell others. Your story is about how God has transformed your heart. It's your personal story. It's also a unique one. And it's a miracle from God for you to share to others. And in today's passage, we're able to read how people respond to the gospel preached to them. People believe the gospel, repent and follow Christ because it's for all people. So as God's people, we should be inclusive to all. We all have our own story from different backgrounds, and some are older than others, but we all have the same gospel. We are united in the gospel. And this means we are to welcome one another in the church. This also means welcoming others who walks into the church to show what the gospel really means to us. Also, we read how people have treated the early church. How Ananias and Sapphira were willing to lie and try to deceive the spirit in the community. The book of Acts doesn't say they were believers or not, but their action might have given us an answer. But for sure, we know that they wanted to look great on the outside. Wanted people to see how wonderful they were. But on the inside, we see that it's all about themselves. They were two-faced, acting one way, wanting people to see their outer beauty. But in the inside, they were dark and twisted. They really didn't care for others. They didn't care about the community being united as one. Didn't care for the church needs or the apostles' mission. Because if they did, they wouldn't have lied. They wouldn't have deceived others. They thought they knew the gospel, but really, it was Satan's lie. And this happens in the world we live in. There are liars, there are deceivers, and there's people who will backstab you at uni, at work. And you can find them in governments, companies, and even at home. And yes, it does creep into the church. Wolf hidden among God's sheep. As this happened in the early church, this also happens today. People think it's okay to lie and think they can get away with it. It has happened to churches, and even it has happened in Grace Point. Wolf has taken members of the church and taught them the wrong gospel. Satan is a liar. And he's good at it too. So we shouldn't take this matter lightly. As being deceitful and lying to one another shouldn't be a joke. Shouldn't be a joke at all. Our actions to our brothers and sisters in the church can be very harmful and hurtful. It creates fractions and can impact people emotionally and spiritually. And if you have joined the church long enough, you might have even experienced this hurt and pain because of a person's unholy action. So we must see that our personal action, which can be lies, deceit, fraud or unholiness, not just affect people on receiving end, but it also affects everyone at church. It affects everyone at God's church. In fact, to say that your actions do not affect anyone and only yourself is a lie. It's a Satan's lie. This is very immature thinking because it can and does impact the whole church. It is one reason we as a church come together. We gather to hear God's truth and God's word from the Bible. We come together on a Sunday in our community group to deal with any lies of Satan, which might be creeping into your thoughts, my thoughts, and our minds. So we do need one another. And be ready to change. Be ready to be accountable. Be ready to be rebuked. With the help of the Spirit, we need to change from dark to light. Change our lives to glorify ourselves, to glorify God. And God has given us a community of a church to do that. Which leads to my last final point. If we are united and are part of the same body, and today we have a great example from our brother Barnabas. He didn't just give generously to the work of the gospel. He was also faithful to the word. A person who was willing to speak the truth to others and support others, like Paul in his ministry work. Barnabas was an encourager to all in his ministry and taught others in the church. We can say he was a faithful leader who serves the church with the given spiritual gift he has been given. And I know there's a lot of people who are like Barnabas today at Grace Point. Able, willing to give the work of the gospel, giving money, time, and energy, partnering with God's church in ministry, being a steadfast and faithful servant of Christ. I'd like to say, keep it up, as you are an encourager to others within the church community. Witnessing to the younger generation and even to the staff. Be a humble servant and being faithful to him that the Spirit has given to you all. I do want to encourage others, if you haven't yet, to use the spiritual gift which is given to you, as it's given by the Holy Spirit to grow the church. It'll be a good time right now as we relaunch as a church, to use your gift or join a community group if you haven't, to grow together and to serve one another, serve your members, serve your leaders. Be an encourager. Let's pray. Dear Father, we are reminded that the good news is for all people. Let's proclaim this message to others, knowing it's the Spirit who will change people's heart. And let's also encourage each other as we serve your church and your people. Amen.